Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. A lot of discussion this morning about the Atlanta Falcons and, of course, where they stand right now in terms of the 1-5 and Coach Quinn. We wanted to get a national perspective in all of this because we're so close to it, sometimes, you know, we lose a little bit of perspective. So we decided to reach out to Josh Alper, a Pro Football Talk, and get his thoughts on this. Josh, welcome to the program. Do appreciate it.
Good morning. Good to hear from you guys.
So, Josh, what is the national perspective right now of the Atlanta Falcons?
They look like a broken team, and that it looks like we're in the final stages of this, you know, the Dan Quinn era, this team that was in the Super Bowl and obviously up in the second half of the Super Bowl and just has gone further and further away from that, you know, slowly but surely. And this year it just seems to have all gone off the rails.
Yeah, certainly defensively. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, that has been the case. And what's sad about that, in a way, Josh, is, and it's starting to become a theme here in town, that Matt Ryan is actually having, you know, a pretty decent season, and he and Julio are being wasted, and we're talking about guys that Arthur Blank invested $100 million into in those two cases and more in terms of other players, and you're still in their prime, and this is what you're getting.
Yeah, and it's really, I think, the last 2 weeks, just that the defense has been so bad, and it's so tied to Dan Quinn after this offseason that firing Mark Van Manuel, taking over the defense, that was his all-in move. And this is how I'm saving this team, and saving my job and everything. And it's completely failed. That you do. You look at it, at Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, for two first-round picks on the offensive line. They've done so much to work on the offense, and the offense is good enough to stand up with a defense that's something middle of the road, middle of the pack, even, but it's not. And that's, I think, the biggest reason why you look at it, that it feels like it's time for a new voice, because it's just so tied to who the head coach is, and the two things seem inseparable.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to my man Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. You just led up to the next question I was about to ask you. We got 2 weeks before the bye week after this game. Do you think that they should pull the trigger on Coach Quinn and move on, firing?
I never like to say that you should fire someone. I don't like to mess with someone else's job, but I think it's a real possibility. If you don't win these next 2 weeks, I think that you get to a point where you have to send a message of what's okay and what's not okay. We heard this whole kind of conversation off season, whether Arthur Blank is restless, whether it's the right word to use or not. But look, it doesn't seem too crazy. They changed all the coordinators this off season. Everything about this screamed like we're going for it right now, because there's no more time to waste. And if you get to that point in the season with one win, you have Dirk Cutter, you have Malarkey, you have experienced coaches on hand, Bob Sutton to run the defense. I don't think it's going to change where the things find, you know, things fall in the end. It's a little bit too far down the road for that. But yeah, in terms of an accountability, it's hard to argue with making a change.
We're talking to Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. The salt in the wound in all of this for us. Go back to week two. Falcons come home. They have their home opener. They beat Philadelphia, and at the same time, the Saints lose and the Panthers lose. Drew Brees gets hurt. Cam Newton gets hurt. They go to their backup quarterbacks, and we're sitting around here in week two in our environment, and we're asking ourselves, did the Falcons just win the division? Brees is out. Newton's out. Look at this. And it just collapsed the other way, and with backup quarterbacks, New Orleans won, and Carolina won four games in a row each.
Yeah, it's really a testament to, in both of those cases, what exactly is missing in Atlanta in terms of a defense that can grind out wins for you while you figure things out offensively. And I think that, you know, for the Panthers, it sort of felt like they were playing this psychological game with Cam Newton that they don't have to play anymore, and it seems to have freed them up a little bit, whereas the Saints are just – the Saints should be the model for all of the teams in that division in terms of it can't just be about one side of the ball. That's the way the Saints were for so long, and they've had this run of success the last few years because they've built this deeper overall team. And for the Falcons not to have been in a position to exploit those things I think you're right, as damning a criticism of the team as you could come up with.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to my man Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. Josh, I need you to look at it from your perspective, because me and my man John Freaky has been trying to figure this out for the last couple of weeks. From your fresh eyes on this, is it more the execution of the defense or the actual players that are the problem for the Atlanta Falcons defensively?
I mean, I think it always goes down to both, and it certainly never helps to have, you know, Keanu Neal go down again. But it did feel like this offseason, you came into it, you had Deion Jones coming back, Neal was coming back, Ricardo Allen was coming back. You stuck with Vic Beasley, you stuck with McKinley as your pass rush options, and you know, I think they do need to have better talent in the front seven. They clearly aren't threatening opposing quarterbacks enough, and they're not to not get a sack against a Texans team that was giving them up in bunches before that game was a pretty big factor, obviously, in that loss, and a pretty clear sign that something's wrong. So I think the talent needs to get better, and I think that opens up the bigger discussion that if you're going to get rid of Dan Quinn, is this time to make a wholesale change in terms of the organization? I see the execution as a bigger issue, just because I look at the names and I look at what they've done in the past, and I feel like it should be better based on that. But I can't say that sitting there day in, day out, that some of these players that you've expected to be sort of next level leaders, next level stars for the team, in a guy like Deion Jones comes to mind there, haven't fallen a little bit short of where that needs to be. But it does seem like something that they're going to have to completely overhaul one way or the other, because it's not working.
Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk with John and Hugh. We're talking about the Falcons and the NFC South. And yes, I think we echo those sentiments. There are a lot of people, Josh and Atlanta, myself included, who believe that Tack McKinley could be an effective player on the edge for the Atlanta Falcons if he had somebody on the other side that was actually productive, and Vic Beasley flat out is not. And Dan Quinn hitched his wagon to Vic in the offseason. They paid him a lot of money, and he has underperformed greatly in that role. And so that's the reason the Falcons are in the position they are. But I actually want to go back to the Saints and the Carolina Panthers for a moment. Look, there's no question that Drew Brees is going to start, obviously, for the New Orleans Saints when he gets back. Does Cam Newton start, though, for the Panthers when he gets back?
I think it's a little bit of a sliding scale. That's not exactly the right word, but if he were to say, hey, I'm ready right now, I think it's tough. I think it would be incredibly hard to change horses in the middle of a four-game winning streak. But we've heard this week that, you know, he may practice next week once they come back from the bye. Ron Rivera was very quick to say that, you know, this is going to be a process of ramping him up. I think that the foot injury, the nature of the foot, the nature of the shoulder issues from last year, the overall picture for Cam Newton allows the Panthers to slow play it in a way that you couldn't with Drew Brees, and you wouldn't with Drew Brees. But my feeling until, you know, every week I've pushed further and further towards the point where, has Cam Newton actually played his last game as a Panther? Is that actually possible? I don't think it is. I think more likely than not, he's starting at some point again this season, whether it's because Kyle Allen is ineffective or because the team just says he's healthy and we have to see what we have. But I'm not willing to say when that is. I think it's, as long as they're winning, they're not making a change. And the way they're playing right now, it may be a while.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to my man Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. What's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, man?
Well, I think that you've seen a league adjust to the Chiefs a little bit. I think you've seen a Chiefs team that's missing some players on both sides of the ball that are important players for them. They've been without their left tackle, Eric Fisher, for a while. Obviously, they played without Tyreek Hill, and you know, Sammy Watkins seems to be sort of a weekly guessing game. Once again, that's, I guess, the story of his career. But I think some of it is just that teams adjust, and they haven't adjusted quite as well. You know, I think you saw the Colts really give them a hard time pass rush-wise. The Texans, it was a little bit of a different story, and I think that you're the Chiefs, you're getting the ball 21 minutes a game the last 2 weeks. That's hard to win games that way, especially if you're not just putting up points, and that's the reason why you have the ball for so short an amount of time. So I think that if they can't find a way to reestablish the run game and control the ball a bit, get their defense off the field, get Patrick Mahomes more opportunities, more bites at the apple, you're going to continue to see kind of this desperate look that they've had the last 2 weeks. I don't know. Damian Williams is back. Mm-hmm. LeSean McCoy doesn't quite look like the old LeSean McCoy, but something's going to have to start going for them offensively on the running side, I think, in order for everything to take off the way we saw last year.
Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. I got 30 seconds, Josh. Hate to squeeze it in, but you and I were talking. We know that New England's best team, obviously, in the NFL right now and favorites in the AFC, but between San Francisco, Green Bay, you know, the top of the NFC, the New Orleans Saints, those teams with one loss, Seattle, who's the best team in the NFC?
It's a great question. It's hard to argue with San Francisco right now because it looks like they've got the best defense. And those other teams, I came into the season thinking that certain teams are going to be a lot better than they were. I was not all over the 49ers coming in, but I think the 49ers and Saints are the ones that have been most impressive to me thus far this season, and it's very defensively based on both cases.
You can read Josh at profootballtalk.com. Josh Alper, one of their experts, and he has been kind enough to give us a few minutes this morning.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you.
Have a great day.
You too.
So, Hawks fans, opening night presented by State Farm is on Saturday, the 26th of October, 7:30 against the Orlando Magic. Limited seats do remain. You go to hawks.com/tickets to get your seats to see Trae Young and Cam Reddish, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, and the new-look Atlanta Hawks. Opening night Saturday, October 26th, Hawks and Orlando Magic at State Farm Arena. It's the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game, 92.9thegame.com. Back after a CBS Sports Minute.
It's like such an important time, man, like be really rock solid on what you're doing. And you don't have to, you know, cover for another person, but, man, the communication, team defense. And really what I'm looking for is, you know, for us to put all three phases together and feed off one another and that energy that comes with that. So no doubt about it. You know, we've got to get our execution on point, and that's what we intend on doing.
John and Hugh in the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Of course, head coach Dan Quinn with us in the 7 o'clock hour talking about, you know, his frustrations and the team's frustrations as they get ready to face the L.A. Rams Sunday at 1 o'clock. Our coverage will begin with the WadeFord.com. You know, Hugh, you and Andy do such a great job on the Tailgate Show that, you know, you guys got to get up and you're first up to bat on the WadeFord Show. And I just think about, man, that's got to be kind of a, you know, a tough thing if it's going to be a Rams tailgate on Sunday.
No, because, you know, the great part about it is that we're right there by Steve Ewing's bus, the WadeFord tailgate bus, and we're surrounded by a bunch of great people. V is right there as well. So the last couple of weeks, it's been a great amount of Falcons fans that have been there. Now, I know that the situations have changed over the last few weeks, but I think there'll still be a decent contingency of Falcon fans that will be there. That's my hope.
You know, and again, mathematically, you know, you still got a slight chance. I know nobody wants to hear that.
Ain't nobody trying to hear it.
Coach Quinn, you asked him, Hugh, earlier today about turning this frustration into action, and here's what the coach said.
Message-wise, yeah, they're all frustrated. You know, they want it badly, and they care a ton, so that's why the frustration gets there, and now we have to make sure, let's turn the frustration into some action and get our game like we want.
All right, and what about no sacks? 3 games, no sacks. Falcons tied with the Dolphins for fewest sacks in the NFL. They have 5 for the year. This is Coach.
To move the guy is one thing. To hit him is another thing. But you got to get this guy on the ground, and that's how you can play really good third down defense. And I know you and everybody's seen there's been some times you get him to move, and then there's a completion on third down. And so when the second play begins and a quarterback gets outside the pocket, you know, those are difficult. And so that's what we got to make sure is make a guy stay in the pocket, make him remain as a passer, and allow these hits to turn into sack.
Yeah, well, you've made average quarterbacks by NFL standards and rookie quarterbacks look like superstar quarterbacks over the first 6 games.
Yeah,
exactly.
Slump.
That's a good call.
Busters.
Your chance to react, 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number, and, of course, on Twitter at 929 The Game. And Hugh, with Jared Goff coming in, we talked to Kirk Morrison about it this morning. He's in a slump. 78, and Kirk Morrison says, number one overall pick, not living up to his contract, 78 yards last week. And yet he's got to be licking his chops thinking, hey, here we go.
They're looking for a win. But, you know, from a fan's perspective, the fans are probably looking at it. Rams fans are like, oh, yeah, we got the Falcons coming up this week. Their defense is trash. I wonder how many people, like, a show of Twitter hands, just hit me up on Twitter. How many people have the Falcons defense on their fantasy football team? Like, I can check my Abe has to show me. Abe, the producer, has to show me how to do it. To check the available defenses that are in fantasy football, I'm venturing to say that the Falcons probably would be one of the available defenses.
Yeah, I'm guessing they would be available, yeah. 186 points allowed, most in the NFL. That's all you need to know. More points allowed even than the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I think that they're one of the defenses that people are definitely not, you know, fooling with.
Miss Jones is on with us, and your chance to react here as we go to Atlanta and to the phones. Hey, Miss Jones.
Well, hey, guys. I just wanted to say that to me, every time I hear Coach Quinn, and I've always liked Coach Quinn, but I'm beginning to think more now that he actually may be the problem. There is some sort of disconnect. When you listen to his answers in his press conferences and when y'all talk to him, he is delusional. I mean, he's saying the same things. He's acting like he's, to me, like it's a, you know, he's somebody would talk about a Little League football team at this point. Oh, we got to get all three phases. We got to do this. And then the other day on his conference, he talked about the game last week. Oh, it was like a championship game. It was like a fight. It was a battle. I'm thinking, no, it was. I just don't get it. And the brotherhood, I think that, and this is just me, if there was a true brotherhood, it seems like you would be playing super hard and executing like he's been working with you all year and before to save your coach's job. If you love that coach and that's a brother, I mean, they're playing like something is wrong. I don't know if it's something in the locker room, but there's some disconnect. I'm thinking when I hear him talk, is he kidding me? I wonder if they're thinking it. Like if he's talking to them like that, I don't know. Just something is not right.
Well, yeah, especially on the defensive side of the football. And that's why we ask the question, is it execution or is it talent?
Yeah, and you're onto something because I was thinking the same thing. It's like, you know, they're playing hard, and Coach Quinn has said that. He knows better than me because he's with these guys every day. But with that being said, you see some of the same things happening every week, and that's why I asked the question. Is it the athleticism of the players that you have or is it the execution? Now, either way that you answer that question, it's not a good look because it kind of falls back on you. Not kind of. It does fall back on you and the general manager because you pick these guys. You're the guy that picked these guys to be your defensive stalwarts. And when they're not getting things done, when it's crunch time, you have to look at the coach. You have to look at everybody involved and say, okay, you're the ones that got these guys and they're still not getting it done.
Yeah, and you're doing it on offense because everybody was so critical of the offense at the beginning of the year and Dirk Cutter, but nobody's talking about that now because they're putting up points, Hugh, and they're moving the football. And I look at that offense and think, you know, again, you're wasting a prime year of Julio and Matt, and I know that Arthur Blank is looking at it from the same perspective. I get that. He's like, we spent this much money to secure these players, Grady Jarrett and Julio Jones, these star players, and this is what we have to show for it. I really hope that end of that game last week doesn't come back to haunt the Falcons at the end of the year. But that's kind of one of my concerns now is how important is it going to be if we look back on that Arizona loss and whether or not that's something that we can only hope. Of course, that means the Falcons are going to be playing a lot better down the stretch. Curtis joins us. Hey, Curtis, welcome to the show. Curtis. Hey, there you go.
Me back. What's going on, man? What you doing?
Oh, man, trying to get over this stressful season. But I wanted to ask you, Hugh, how hard is it to implement a new defense in the middle of the season with the personnel you got in order to change the shit that you're on? I mean, with the personnel you got, with the scheme that you tried to implement, how hard is it to implement new stuff to get it working?
That's a good question.
It all depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, and even with that being said, there's going to be, guys that are going to not pick it up immediately. You could probably go into a game with a couple of blitzes, couple of schemes that you've practiced all week long, but you're doing two things. You're limiting yourself and for lack of a better word, you're becoming vanilla. But if it's something that you're running well, it could be done. I remember playing in games where we would go into a game with six plays. We have our base defense, and we'll probably run a couple blitzes, but we're running six plays. But the whole defense is opened up to us. I mean, we got to know the whole defense. So if Jim Johnson on the sideline and he decides to call the defense that we didn't practice, you're supposed to know that. And I do believe that Coach Quinn has some of the same stuff. But if you're just talking about straight blitzing, they have blitzes in their repertoire. I've seen them. They just need to run them. They just need to execute them better.
Yeah, you talked about using a joker. And explain what a joker is in terms of, or however you want to.
Well, basically.
Like Dion would be your joker.
Me and, Tack would be the, no, excuse me, Vic would be the joker. Vic would be the spinner or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, me and Chuck Smith was chopping this up. Well, he was chopping it up. Chuck was educating me. Let me get the story straight. Chuck educated me about how to make this pass rush better. And basically, you go to a four-man front, and you had to pull one of the linebackers off the field and put Vic at that linebacker spot and just let him rush. Just let Vic rush. Let him play zone on the back end and just bring him every play. But move him around in the defense and let him come from different spots so that way, you allow him to do what he do, that straight line speed, and just try to get after the quarterback. Yeah, and that's what you do.
Yeah, and Junior Seau, God rest his soul, used to do that quite a bit with the Chargers and the Patriots, where he would just kind of wander back and forth between, say, the defensive end and the defensive end and just looking for a weak spot, and then he picked a spot and he went every down. He got to choose. And so the quarterback never knew where he was coming from. And you can join 92.9 The Game at the Taste of Atlanta, the award-winning three-day food, beer, wine, and cocktail experience. It's October the 18th through the 20th. At the historic Fourth Ward Park, come taste Atlanta's best bites from more than 100 Atlanta restaurants. Tickets to the Taste of Atlanta are available at tasteofatlanta.com. Well, with all this talk about the Falcons, we missed some stories, I'm sure. That's why we have Denitra and Sweet Tea to fill us in on some of the stories we may have missed. We'll do that next on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Is that on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Denitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As we get stuck in our fandom here, at least as I get stuck in my Falcons fandom, and, we miss stuff. We always know that because we're, not paying attention to everything, and that's why Sweet Tea, who's got this worldview that I don't have,
alrighty,
is able to join us.
So I'm going to go back to where I was this past weekend, and that was in L.A., The LA Kings aren't taking any chances with the Taylor Swift curse after winning the Stanley Cup in 2012 and 2014. The Kings haven't gotten out of the first round of the playoffs since a banner commemorating Swift's sellout streak at Staples Center was raised in August 2015. The team is trying to shake that off, no pun intended, by covering the bill.
Haters gonna hate.
There's a Taylor Swift curse, huh?
Yes, a Taylor Swift curse. If you believe in the whole sports curse thing, which I know all Atlanta's right. kind of trying to decide,
well,
what they
we live
believe
in Atlanta,
right now,
so,
right?
I mean, yeah, I guess we kind of do.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, maybe it'd be nice if we could blame her, but we can't.
Right. Or maybe we should leave a blank space in the rafters where somebody's banner resides. But anywho, the Kings will cover that banner at Staples Center for all home games. So according to their SVP of Marketing, Communications, and Content, the connection to our fans is our highest priority, and through our engagement, they've made it clear that the banner shouldn't be part of the Kings game experience. Believe it or not, the Kings won their home opener with the banner covered up on Saturday, beating her favorite team, the Nashville Predators. But, the Kings lost Sunday's game at the Staples Center to the Golden Knights. So, curse, I don't know.
Wait, widespread panic has a banner at State Farm Arena? Is that what you're telling me?
What? Who is that? Wait a minute, somebody about to blow up my Twitter feed talking about who is widespread panic? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you lost
I don't know
right
everybody.
There,
I don't know everybody.
An alt-rock group. Jam band.
A jam band?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
What's why do they have
I'm
a banner?
I'm not
going
to say they have. I'm not going to say they even have enough juice to be
Swift
able to put that
nice
curse.
Little,
but yeah,
got
Taylor's
nice
got, yeah, and she's got enough juice to be able
they're
to put
from
a
Athens,
curse
so
on
is
the
R.E.M.,
Center.
So are the B-52s.
Haters
I mean,
gonna hate.
B-52s, I could give a little credit.
Shake it
yeah.
off.
All right, so anyway, down that rabbit hole and back up the rabbit hole. The Saints got some unexpected support from Pope Francis before Sunday's win over the Jaguars. Pope Francis isn't known for his love for football, of course. He's a soccer guy, but he posted a tweet that accidentally backed the Saints. Today we give thanks to the Lord for our new hashtag Saints. They walked by faith, and now we invoke their intercession. That's what he tweeted, right? But listen to this. The tweet was a line from the homily that he delivered on Sunday at the canonization of 5 new Saints. But that hashtag added the fleur-de-lis automatically.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it added the fleur-de-lis automatically, which, of course, is a symbol for the helmets for the Saints. Twitter went bonkers. Obviously, some users were quick to point out the error. But Saints fans, on the other hand, took credit for it. One fan replied, you're going to love this, John, that the team was taking its complaints about officiating all the way to the Vatican. Any number of folks said they were betting all their money on the Saints. And after the game, of course, the Saints tweeted, couldn't lose after this. Hashtag blessed and highly favored.
No, I saw that. So the jersey, him wearing the jersey, that was fake, right? That was like
yeah, totally.
Because
yeah,
you know
totally
how you're on Twitter and you kind of glance past something. I was like, oh, the Pope wearing a Saints jersey. Yeah, and I saw the
now,
hashtag.
Now, unless it's the Pope, you know, the fake Pope that's at every Saints game, unless it was
okay,
that
okay,
dude.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, because there's a fake Pope at
every
Saints
game.
He's
not from France.
Yeah.
No, he's from like South America, right? He's from Argentina,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is South American. Exactly. Way to try to take credit for that, my Saints Nation folks. Anywho, so I wanted to update you guys as well, speaking of the Saints. But, John, you actually will like the story. It's an update.
Real quick here. When people, so I guess if people use Rise Up in other contexts besides the Atlanta Falcons, they probably get the Atlanta Falcons
yeah,
logo.
Yeah,
exactly. The Falcons logo, if you will, it comes up as well when you put in hashtag Rise Up. It's not blessed by the Pope necessarily, but it'll come up. But you know what? Take your chances.
Oh,
take
really?
Your chances.
Oh, really? You put in hashtag UGA, you get the Ugandan flag, huh?
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
But I think, you know, personally, John, I think Falcons fans, hey, we need a win. You guys need a win on Sunday. Go ahead and take your chances and put in hashtag Rise Up and see what happens. Yeah. You might get blessed and highly favored, too, with that. All right, so updates on P.J. Williams and Cardi B that might make you feel a little bit better, especially the P.J. Williams story. A couple of Fridays ago, we talked about P.J.'s girlfriend trying to get him out of a DUI arrest. And basically, back in January, that's when he was arrested. She asked the cop to have mercy on him because of that pass interference call in the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game. He eventually cut a deal in August. And now Williams has been suspended without pay for the Saints' next 2 games for violating the league's policy on substance abuse. Yes, that suspension is related to that DUI back in January. And I guess you're kind of halfway excited about that, John, because really and truly, you get him back for the Falcons Saints showdown in New Orleans on November 10th. That's
I
when
don't
he's coming
care.
Back.
I mean,
and
point,
guess
you
who
know,
else is coming back?
It's a it's close to being a 2-game season for the Atlanta Falcons. If they just win 2 more games,
beat those and guys. That could very well be the momentum they need to take into New Orleans, regardless of whether they get PJ Williams and Breezy back at that point. So, Cardi B announced on Instagram that she would name her next album Tiger Woods. We talked about that Friday before last as well. She said that basically, because of all that hateration going on him for a number of years, he came back and won that green jacket. Well, She was on a recent episode of Netflix's Rhythm and Flow, and she kind of walked back the possibility of naming her next album Tiger Woods, sort of. Here is her take on that.
Wow, we talking Tiger Woods is the name of it?
Tiger Woods?
Oh, my God. I was just kidding. I've seen that on ESPN, but I kind of like it, too.
It's kind of hot.
Or judges and everything that was talking so badly about him. Like, he's trash, yeah. He's whack, he should retire. And then he came back and he won that green jacket. And then there's a video of him hearing all those bad critics. And he just did this. Yeah.
You gotta love that. So she's not sure. She's thinking she might. She's thinking she's not. We'll see come 2020 what she names her new album.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I think she's a nice person. I just don't like it when she speaks, though.
I love to hear her voice. It's hilarious voice.
Like,
to me.
I like the whole Latin. I like the sound, you know. But the way she talks to me is kind of irritating. Like a little
irritates
bit.
Irritates you.
Like a little bit. It's like, just smile.
It makes me
laugh
all the time. Her voice makes me laugh.
She has a heavy accent.
It is. It's the thickest of thick, straight out of the Bronx. All right, so one other shout out before we go, guys. Don't know if you knew it was National Bosses Day, but it is. So a shout out to my boss who wears 17 hats for the station, one Mike Conti, the boss who never goes home, the underboss, Sean Thompson, and the boss who traverses two zip codes on a regular, Terry Fox. National Bosses Day. Happy, happy, guys.
Oh, thank you for doing that. You got that for us. We're covered.
Don't look
okay,
at me
are
like
we good?
That, Hugh. I'm just giving out love, man. Just,
I mean,
you know.
That's fine. Shout out to the underboss of Mike Conti and Terry Fox.
I knew
you were gonna... Safe travels to my boss, Mike Conti.
He's a Cowboys fan. We got the Cowboys this week.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no
love.
Oh, yeah. No, no love, Terry. But I was
Mr.
nice
Fox.
To Terry when hey. My home team gave it to him
you
all day, every day. I was nice.
Hey, Terry, if you're listening, J-E-T-S.
Not nice, Hugh Douglas. Not nice.
Hey, you can tune in tonight. You join the game 2 hours before the Falcons and Rams. Harry Douglas, Paul Kramer, going to be previewing the matchup on the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Bud Light, which is brewed for the Dirty Birds. When we get back, Georgia Tech has reason to have hope for the future in its football program. We'll tell you why next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.